Right, you may be seated. Tonight we are on Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 22 to 32, which will bring us to the end of Deuteronomy 11. As you know, Moses is giving this series of messages. It's really just three, one long one, longer than we normally go on Sunday morning. And it is from chapters about 5 to chapter 28. So we're just in a small part of that, preparing Israel to enter the promised land. And so we will do a quick review of the last 2 weeks since this is all tied together. It's actually 11, 1 through 21. But we'll do it over the last couple of weeks. And the reason for doing a quick review on the last 2 weeks rather than just one is because of this. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. So this has been the theme since Deuteronomy 6 with the great commandment, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And we do that just like it says here, by keeping his commandments. That's how we know that we love the Lord. So love the Lord by keeping his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and commandments. So before Deuteronomy 6:5, there was no place yet in the Bible that commanded us to love him. So in Deuteronomy 6:5, that was something introduced at that point, at least in the written text. But in Deuteronomy 11, Moses gives this kind of a command three times. And so here we are in Deuteronomy 11. This is the first of those, Deuteronomy 11, 1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God. And then last week, we had this. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So one of the things that we asked last week when we were going this is, how do you know if you do that? How do you know if you love the Lord with all your heart? Well, Jesus answers us that question for us in the New Testament when he just says, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. If we love God, that's what we'll do. We'll keep his commandments. We will set his commandments on our heart. And then this is how the chapter, the last week ended. This is what it says. If we do that, this is what will happen, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. So this is one of the blessings that's listed in Deuteronomy 11, and there are others in Deuteronomy, of loving the Lord and of keeping his commandments. And that is where we left off. And so we'll start right there, Deuteronomy 11, 22 to 32. We'll begin in verse 22. So if you have your Bible, open it to Deuteronomy 11. And we'll start off just by reading all the way through it. And then we'll come to the end of the chapter at verse 32. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates to the western sea. And no one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan, west of the road toward the going down of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah, opposite Gilgal, beside the oak of Moreh? For you are to cross over the Jordan, to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And when you possess and live in it, you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. So that's where we are. Now we'll take some time to go through the text. Spend most of our time in the first few verses because there are a few things that we want to address in those verses, a few things that might be meaningful to us. So I just want to remind you that this is when I always will do this, almost always will do this. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment. So the words in yellow represent a Hebrew word that is probably most often translated keep. And also translated guard. And in this particular construction, it's intensified. And so the ESV does this. It actually changes the way it translates this word quite often. But I think that the King James probably captures this better than any of the versions that we use today. When it says this, diligently keep. So an intense way of keeping. How are you going to keep it intensely? King James reads, diligently keep. So the Jewish translation of this reads, faithfully keep, making the same point. You're going to keep what the Lord commands faithfully or diligently. You're going to work hard at it. Either of those captures what's meant here. And so, if you will diligently keep all this commandment that I command you to do. So all this commandment, we've talked about this before, it's singular, and then it lists more than one thing. Probably because it's tied to the great commandment, what we call the great commandment, or the most important commandment, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That commandment. So this is the third time now in chapter 11 when Moses has referred to loving the Lord. So here we go. For if you will diligently keep all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him. So I mentioned the Jewish translation of Deuteronomy. That's what ESV is following here when it translates it this way. If you have New American Standard or the NIV or the King James, all translate this in yellow as to love the Lord your God. So, and the ESV translates it that way sometimes, this construction. So how do we do that? To love the Lord your God. Well, Moses has a few different ways to say it, but it still just all boils down to this. To love the Lord your God by walking in his ways, by holding fast to him. So Daniel Block says, really, there is just one command here. It's just one. It is the command to love the Lord with your whole heart. And love without meaningless is not love at all. So if we're loving God, we obey. Otherwise, we don't love him. We simply don't love him. So Moses really couldn't be clearer on that than this statement. If we love the Lord, we will walk in his ways and not in our ways. And we will hold fast to or cling to, cleave to. Same word that's used for cleaving to your wife or clinging to your wife. We'll cling to him. So let's look at one more thing in this verse, and this is where we're going to spend some time. For if you will diligently keep all this commandment that I am commanding you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him. So this is what's called a conditional clause. So we're going to talk about this. This is a conditional thing here. If you do this, then this will happen. Conditional. So I'm going to go back a ways, and some of you will not get this at all. There was a disco singer named Donna Summer. So if you think, if you know who that is, she had produced some songs early on, especially into the early, probably late 70s, early 80s, with just some terribly vile lyrics. And since confession is good for the soul, I'm gonna confess something. I liked disco. I shouldn't confess. That's one of the things I don't have to confess. But anyway, reportedly, Donna Summer became a Christian. And she came to faith, and in 1983, she produced a song, sang a song called Unconditional Love. 1983. So at that time, unconditional love was a common way, not to define, but to gloss would be a better word for it, for the Greek word agape, which means love. So unconditional love, that was common. I heard that many, many times when people talked about agape, that's unconditional love. In fact, she even mentions the word agape in her song. But the song clearly meant, she understood the word agape to mean unconditional love, as in non-judgmental love. You can't judge anybody. Here are some of the words which are really just interesting. Give me your unconditional love, the kind of love I deserve. Well, that doesn't really fit with the biblical message. The kind I want to return. I want to give that back to you, this kind of love. Don't try to change or tear your brother down. Don't try to change anybody. Let him make his mistakes and he will come around. You be you, I'll be me. We'll just all be happy with this new kind of unconditional love. Well, it was quite a while after that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was still widespread where people would talk about agape love means unconditional love. And I was in a setting with Paul Rainbow, Dr. Rainbow, and somebody brought that up. And Dr. Rainbow, like he often does, just, you know, makes a really good point that helps us to think. He said, well, from Scripture, It looks to me like there are conditions. Now there's something to think about. And then he just ended the conversation. Something for us to consider, for us to think about. That in Scripture there are, it looks like there are conditions. And so if you look up agape in a Greek lexicon, you're not going to find the definition unconditional love. It's not in there. You might get something like faithful love, like the Old Testament means with the word that's translated steadfast love. You might get something like that, faithful love. But you're not going to find unconditional love. And we have a conditional clause right here. It's a conditional clause. And it's going to begin a conditional promise. If you do this, then this will happen. For if you diligently keep all this commandment that I command you today to do, or command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. So this if-then series of clauses. So you have the if here, and then the thens basically continue through verse 25. So the question, one of the questions we should ask is how seriously should we take it when God makes a condition? When God puts a condition on this. I mean, after all, Israel's entering the promised land. He tells them they're going to enter the promised land. He's promised them the promised land. Israel is there today. At least ethnic Israel is there today in a secular government. So how serious are we to take the then? Well, let's just read through these and then come back to think about those kind of things. For if, then, the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, that is, to the Western Sea. So what he's saying here is this is going to be your territory. From the wilderness, that would be the Negev, that would be way south in a dreadful wilderness in the southern part of Israel that goes down to the Red Sea. To the Lebanon. It says the Lebanon. It's based on the word for white. So there's something white up there in the hills. But it's where Lebanon is now. It's in that same area. So that, from the south to the north. And the Euphrates River is even further north than that. It would be in Syria now. So farther north, the river Euphrates. If you've heard of the town Aleppo, it's east of Aleppo. And then south to north, and then to the Western Sea, or to the back sea, because at this time, north wasn't at the top, east was at the top. East was the way you would face, towards the back sea, or the West Sea, which is the Mediterranean. And so he gives south to north, and he gives west, but he doesn't give east. He's standing on the east, right? So all that land that's ahead of you, to your right, to your left, and, well, behind you, actually, as you face east, to your right, to your left, and behind you, all that land is going to be yours. And no one shall be able to stand against you. This is still part of the then clause. Nobody will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised you. So just think of the prostitute Rahab. When they came to Jericho, they were deathly afraid of Israel at that time. So that part of that promise, what happened? So these are the promises. Conditional promises. They're if then promises. But it seems like there are some places in the Bible where things like this are not conditional, especially the land. So let's go back to Genesis 13. You can turn to it if you want. I'm going to put it up on the screen. So this is Genesis 13 is the chapter in which Abraham and Lot have to separate because they have so many possessions. They're so wealthy that they can't stand to live together. Their servants get in fights, etc. They've accumulated so much stuff that they can't live together anymore. And so Abram at the time, gives Lot the choice. And I think this is the choice he's making. They're standing up on the ridge, looking over the valley where the Dead Sea is. And Abraham says, go to the right or the left. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right along this ridge. And Lot goes, no, I'll go there, straight ahead. And then this is what happened. Verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Where's the condition? All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. No condition. Arise and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. Where's the condition? Where's the if clause? There's no if clause. So these promises seem about as solid as you could get, right? They are about as solid if you can get. This will happen. I'll give it to you. North and south, east and west. I'm going to give it to you. It's yours forever. It belongs to your offspring forever. Everything that you can see is yours forever. Walk around it. I'll give it to you. So the Israelites are Abram's offspring. And yet we have this. For if you will diligently keep all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God and walking in all his ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. So how do we make this fit? How do we square this with the rest of Scripture? Well, Daniel Block has a really good, simple explanation of it and of Israel's mindset as well. So here's what Block says. Actually commenting on later in this chapter, but it's good. They assume that since his covenant commitment to them is eternal, they know about Abraham, their enjoyment of his favor is unconditional. They fail to read the fine print of the covenant, which declares that God's promises are contingent. Each generation and each individual must claim the promises by faith and demonstrate its allegiance to the divine suzerain, which would be like the emperor, by conforming to his will. Particularly what he calls the supreme command, the great commandment, by loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So that's what Daniel Block says about this. Yes, the promise is eternal. But keeping the land in your generation depends on what you do. Depends on whether or not you love the Lord. So each generation, or each person even, as he says, must love the Lord by walking in his ways and by holding fast to them. And so with that understanding, let's read through the conditional part of the promise again, keeping in mind that it's up to individual generations. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. So those borders, every place, walk around the land like Abraham, like that promise. So at its greatest, under the reign of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel would have included this, or at least Solomon would have controlled all of this land. It's talking all the way up to the Euphrates River. Never since. Never at any time since then has Israel done that. So the current Israel, that is there, doesn't even... Well, it controls. It has part of its territory, the Palestinian territories, which would be Judea. Right? Much of Judea would be in what is Palestinian territory now. And how that generally works is Palestinians can come and go. At least that's the way it was a few years ago. But Israelis couldn't enter without permission. And so... current Israel, then, you look at what's going on and you see what is happening with Israel. They're still trying to control that land. Still trying to do that, but they're a long ways from having all of this land. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised. So why has Israel never controlled this territory that is Abraham's forever? Well, it's because Israel has not been faithful to the if clause. And if you look at it, who could be? Who could love the Lord your God by walking in all his ways? We don't have to go farther than that. So I think that who could do that is probably best answered by referring to the way Paul answers another promise in Galatians chapter 3. So you can just, I'm going to read starting in verse 16. Think about it in regard to this promise. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. And it does not say to and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, to Christ, to whom the promise had been made. Again, this is he's referring to a different promise. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediator. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So the Christ is the one who fulfills that. Christ is the one who fulfills all the law, all the prophets, all the writings. Christ is the one that fulfills all of those things. And the then part that we get to be part of is much greater. We get to enjoy is much greater than the land that Israel had. So, does that mean then that once Jesus came, once Christ came, that there are no more conditional promises? So if we've made a decision for Christ, let's say, if we've believed in Jesus, are all conditions off our lives? Can we sing along with Donna Summer? Give me your unconditional love, the kind of love I deserve, the kind I want to return. Don't try to change or to tear down your brother. Let him make mistakes and he will come around. Well, here are some things that Jesus said. We've already talked about one of them. It's a simple one. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's conditional, right? My favorite one is one that I've quoted in here at least a couple of times on Sunday night, and I'm going to do it again. John 8. So that other one was John 14. This is from John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him. Notice the context there. Jesus is saying to those Jews who believed in him. They made a decision to follow him. They believed in him. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue in my word, if, then, you are truly disciples of mine. And then you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. The condition is you must remain. You must remain in his word. You must remain. Because it sounds like he's saying that if you don't continue in my word, then you don't then you aren't disciples of mine, and the truth will not set you free, and you won't know the truth. So, one more. Tonight, we prayed the Lord's Prayer together. So turn with me to it. It's in Matthew 6 is where the Lord's Prayer that we normally pray is found. There's a little different version also, but this is in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, this is the ESV, it won't sound exactly like we're used to praying it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then most of the versions you have will end there. But some manuscripts have, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But the best manuscripts don't have that. So, then as long as we're there, let's just look at what comes right after that. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So how seriously are we supposed to take the if-then clause here? The two if-then clauses here. How seriously are we supposed to take those two clauses? Because it sounds like he's saying, if you forgive others, the Father will forgive you. And if you don't forgive others, he won't. That's what it sounds like he's saying. But what if I ask Jesus into my heart? Well, to quote Jesus and just slightly change it just slightly, he said, what does the law say? How do you read it? What does it say? How do you read it? For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you remain in my word, then you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For if you will diligently keep all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. So let's move on to the rest of our passage today, verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. These are conditional promises, but they're more than that. They're the grounds for blessing and cursing. So, this morning, Pastor Randy's sermon was called Trusting God Through Prayer. And the first point was, anybody remember? God curses things. something we don't like to think about today. God curses things as we get into later into Deuteronomy, where this blessing and curse is fleshed out, which is going to be a while. You'll see that not only does God curse things, he curses people. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, exactly what we have been studying tonight. If you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments, and there are innumerable blessings. The ones that we had tonight were just a little piece of the ones that are in Deuteronomy for loving the Lord. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So if you obey this, if you don't obey that, that's the difference between a blessing and a curse. And if you're looking at Deuteronomy 11 in your Bible, you know there's more to the verse. You know there's more to verse 28 than that. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today. So instead of walking in his ways, you're going to turn the other way and go after other gods that you have not known. In other words, when you're going away from, when you go off the Lord's way, then you're on this other way, which is going after other gods. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land, notice they're going into the land. When the Lord is going to bring them into the land that you are entering to take possession of, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. So this is really kind of developed in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. We're in 11. We're a long time for it, but just take my word for it. This will be well developed in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Are they not? So are they means Mount Gerizim and Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan, west of the road toward the going down of the sun in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah opposite Gilgal beside the oak of Moreh? So there's a bit of a difference in translations here in what's in yellow. It's a little bit difficult to translate, but I think most of our versions in English translate it the way that you would if you lived in America. Because in Sioux Falls, for example, we have a West Avenue. It runs north and south. We have a Western Avenue, which is west of west, that runs north and south. And by the way, just a little side note, between those two, west and western, and a block off it was Westside Evangelical Free Church. It was west at one time. It's east of here. But anyway, our west and western run north and south. This is probably better understood this way. A westward road. The westward road going toward the sun. So it's a west road that actually goes west from the Arabah to the setting of the sun, because the Canaanites who were in that area lived in the Arabah opposite Gilgal, but they were 30 miles from Mount Gerizim and from Mount Ebal. So the road went between those two mountains that are 30 miles west of where you cross the Jordan River. For you are to cross over the Jordan and go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So the Lord's giving you this land. Go in, take possession of it. And when you possess it and live in it, when you possess it and live in it, you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. So this is going to be the end of this section of Deuteronomy, and it kind of moves us into this next section that starts in chapter 12, when Moses is going to start laying out practical things that they need to do when they enter the land. When they enter the land, it starts with this: be careful, or beware, or be sure to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. Kind of a summary of what he's been talking about, except for one thing. It doesn't mention loving the Lord like it has three times in this chapter that go along with things like this. But that doesn't mean that we can ignore that part, because if we ignore that part, that means we become legalists. It's not that that Israel should focus only on the letter of the law. Moses' report has said it three times in this chapter. Love the Lord your God by doing these things, by walking in his ways as we had today, by clinging to him or holding fast to him as we had it today. In obedience, this obedience, if it's obedience without that love, what is it? Just like I said, it's legalism. If we're trying to obey the law without the love for God, it's legalism. Actually, obeying in a meaningful way only occurs with a condition. The condition that we love the Lord our God, and that obedience flows out of that. So if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the great God, all-powerful, almighty, and a God of love who loves his people, who sets his heart on his people. Lord, we pray that you would give us more and more love for you in our hearts that makes us trust you and walk in your ways. Lord, help us to be faithful disciples, to remain in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.